The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International. Coming up, experiencing restoration after a family calamity.
A couple of weeks ago, she brought me a present to church, and she put it together with her own two hands, which has very special significance to me. And I want you to hear part of her letter. Miss Beth, that's what they all call me. I love you, Miss Beth. You are the best, and I mean that.
Family Calamity and Restoration, next.
I guess you're excited because Betty and I made it through 49 years of marriage, and this is kind of the big celebration. We are headed for number 50. Will you stay with me till we get 50?
I'm not giving up now. I got to train.
You still got work to do.
I'm
James Robison. Betty and I welcome you to Life Today. Wednesdays with Beth. I am thrilled about what she's going to be sharing today. I do want to mention Indivisible. It's in the bookstores. We are very grateful for the impact it's already having. I just say this to you. If you want to know how we can come together and correct our nation's perilous course with prayer and involvement, with wisdom, get the book. It really does hold the key to seeing our nation rebuild the foundation that enabled us to be the most prosperous, blessed, benevolent nation in history. Here's Beth Moore. Would you welcome Beth?
Number six is this: God really can add to your family. God can add to your family. God can add to your family. I want you to turn with me to Psalm 68 and just hold still there for a second. I'm so glad we're already in the Psalms. We've been in Psalm 8, talking about being crowned with glory and honor by God Himself, the dignity that God Himself brings us. And He is the only one that gets to say whether we have it or not. Then we're going to turn to Psalm 68, and I just want you to sit tight there for a moment. Psalm 68. Now, listen carefully for a moment. When it says God can add to your family, we talked about in the previous point, because there's going to be somebody that can really relate to this. It may be that the family that you wish could be restored has not and maybe never will be restored. I don't know. Any family can be restored if everybody's willing. But a lot of times the other parties may not be. But if you seek healing, I want to tell you today that you really do have need. We have a psychological need for people in our lives that we love like family and who love us like family. One of the things I'm seeing in the body of Christ today, and when I use that term, I mean those that have placed their trust in Christ, we're told that we are His body, the body of Christ. We are the family of God. And I see many that testify in the day in which we live, the culture that we live in, of just this invasive loneliness that they can't quite put their finger on. And it's so interesting because we've never been more in touch. I mean, now on Facebook, we can have like hundreds of friends. We can have friends we've never met. We can just get to be great friends with somebody on the internet, and that can be a wonderful thing, a beautiful thing. I'm not knocking that at all. I'm a sanguine. I love social networking as much as anybody could love it. But I am going to tell you this. If we put all our relational attentions online and not face-to-face, we are going to be tremendously lonely, because we have need. The way that God built the human psyche and fashioned the soul, we have need of family. And if you're single, and many, many of you in this audience and in that room on the other side of that screen, you're thinking, well, I'm a single. I don't want to hear this. I'm going to flip off this TV. Listen, as a single, you still have need of people in your life that are like family to you. That you need those relationships, because you know what family does? Not only do they love you through thick and thin, but also they'll kind of call you out. Do you have people in your life that know you well enough, love you enough to call you out. We got to have that. The worst thing you could do if you are single is get yourself in a situation where you have set up such a framework in your relational life that you have nobody close enough to go, you know that's a little bit weird, don't you? I mean, we got to have somebody that knows us and loves us enough to go, you are really bizarre. I mean, I have those people in my life. We really got to have it. And I want you to see what this verse says, Psalm 68, verse 6. And I just pray, oh, I'm just asking God, let this be somebody's word today. God sets the lonely in families. He leads forth the prisoners with singing, but the rebellious live in a sun-scorched land. Are you listening carefully? Because this is so profound. Listen, no matter what kind of prison you've been in, no matter what kind of bondage you've been in, no matter what you've been through, no matter what has held you in captivity, if you're willing to be healed, to let Him heal up your broken heart and bind up your wounds, it says the prisoner goes forth singing. But you know who the rebellious is in this passage? The rebellious is the one that won't get the healing. We can just like rebel against the power of God, rebel against His ability to put us back together again. The rebellious, I promise you, according to God's word, will live in a sun-scorched land. You rebel against what God could do for you, and you know what? He's still going to love you. He's still going to sweep you up with your eyes shut on this planet. If you've placed your trust in Christ, you are going to heaven no matter what, because it is something that has promised never to forsake and never to forget. But we can live the rest of our lives in a rebellion of a people who are scared to death of healing. Bitter enough, resentful enough, never to do what it takes to have that joint reset again. He sets the lonely in families. I'm praying somebody today is going to say, Lord, I'm the lonely. Set me in family. For many of us, we're online in the evenings with our family sitting right there, and we're communicating with people we have never met face-to-face while real life is happening next to us, and we're completely disjointed from it. And I don't want to give up my computer. I'm not going to give up my email. I'm not going to give up blogging, but I'm going to shut it down when family time comes so I can have the real thing. I'm not going to let that replace my friendships. I need my buddies. I need my sisters who I've got friends that are closer than a brother. He sets the lonely in families. He sets the lonely in families. I talked to a young woman here recently. I cannot get it out of my mind. A woman from Vietnam, and her family still lives there, and she is about to go back for a month, and she was telling me all about her family structure, and I found it so intriguing because it's a totally different culture. And I said, oh, how long has it been since you have seen your parents? And she said that it had been 2 years. And I said, how long are you staying? She's going to stay 4 weeks. And I said, oh, I just pray God is going to make that such a blessing for you, that it'll be such a great time there with your parents after so long of being apart. And she said, well, Miss Beth, she said, and I wish I could use her accent because it just makes the story all that much richer, because she was so sincere in the way she said it. But in her little bit of broken English, she said, my mother does not know me. And I used the word dementia back to her, but I could tell that she, that it was not quite connecting, but I feel sure from what she described that that's what her mother is suffering with. And she said, my mother only calls me by my sister's name. And when I continue to say, Mom, this is Kim, she says, I don't have a daughter named Kim. I only have a daughter named, and she calls out her sister's name. She says, I have no daughter by your name. Well, yes, she does. And I mean, is that heartbreaking or what? Because you're going, listen, it'd be one thing if she forgets everybody. But she only forgot her. She remembers her sister. And she says, I never had you. I don't know who you are. Can you imagine? Well, she was a young woman. Well, I love young women. I have so many young women in my life. I'm just drawn to them. I'm my mother looking to happen. I'm, as my grandmother would say, that the women in our family, we would mother a fence post. We just, like, I'm just a nurturer by nature. And immediately, it was everything I could do not to go, I will be your mother. I will be your mother. But you know what? She can find one. I wish that would work out. I hope this time she goes home and her mother just goes, oh, Kim. But if she doesn't, there are mothers to be had. There are daughters to be had. There are sisters to be had. There are fathers to be had. The Word of God, this is one of the most beautiful gifts that God gave us in our New Testament families. He called us the family of God. He brought in a whole new way of being family when Paul referred to Timothy and Silas as his sons, my sons. I mean, they were blood sons to him because they were blood through the blood kinship of Jesus Christ. We have family. We got to just be willing to go to the work. Go, I want somebody to love me like my mama. Go love them. Go love them. Start claiming that verse, Lord, I'm the lonely. Put me in family. Or, Lord, I'm the lonely. Wake me up to the one I have. To the one I have. Lord, give me brothers and sisters, mothers and fathers, daughters and sons. We need the love of family so desperately. I want to tell you about somebody at my church. I've had the great joy of being at the same church for 26 years. So you can imagine I have a lot of relationships there. Could you hand me that, please, sister? Thank you. And I have a whole lot of little girlfriends that sit in my section. I go to a very large church, and when you go to a mega church, you have to find your own little section that really becomes like family to you. Even though those are all my brothers and sisters in Christ, I got people in my section that know when I'm not there. They miss me if I don't come. And I got this whole slew of little girls. I've just got a crush on all these little girls, starting from about anywhere from 4 years old to 18 years old. I just love those ages so much. And so I have this whole little group that I sit with on Sundays. And when I come into the service, I cannot tell you how many hugs I get. And most of them have no idea, no way to even fathom what anybody does. All they know is you there, that you're a person in their life. And we're like family to one another. I've been to their baptisms. I've been to some of their birthday parties. And listen, I don't always have time to go, but I want to love people. I need them in my life. My children, it just so happens that Amanda and her family are living close to me right now, but they could move tomorrow. I want people around me. I need the love of family. And if I can't have the first family, I want the second family. I want the family of God. I need that. I need those kinds of relationships. There has been a little girl in my life. She's 7 years old, and she stood in front of me for a long, long time before I really knew her as intimately as I do now. She was right in front of me in her father's arms. Her parents used to bring her into the service for the worship time, and then they would take her to the nursery when they started the sermon. Well, she was right in front of me, and her daddy would hold her, and her little face would be looking back at me. Well, I'm done then. I'm done. Because I cannot resist that. Especially she would wear shoes and I'd be able to point to those shoes and go, oh yeah, oh yeah, those are some good shoes. The cutest thing you have ever seen and fearfully and wonderfully made, because when God made this particular child, she is the, I'm telling you, one of the cutest little girls you've ever seen in your life. And so fearfully and wonderfully made that she has a full hand on one side and a hand that's a little bit shorter on the other side. But let me tell you, you never even notice it once you are caught up in that contagious personality. So I've known this child all her life. And here recently, I had the opportunity to go back when she was about to be baptized and put a little necklace around her neck for her to be baptized in, and then got to go over to her house afterwards and celebrate it with her. And for some unknown reason, these little girls just accept me, this middle-aged woman, old enough to be some of their grandmothers. And they accept me. And so a couple of weeks ago, she brought me a present to church. And this was it. Maybe some of you have seen those places. It's called Build-A-Bear, where you can go and put it together. She put it together with her own two hands, which has very special significance to me. And I want you to hear part of her letter. Miss Beth, that's what they all call me. I love you, Miss Beth. You are the best, and I mean that. Miss Beth, you can get your present. I built it, this was my favorite part, I built it so you would be thrilled. I mean, she knew. She was waiting for me to have a reaction, she said. She said this, I knew you will be shocked. And she spells it all phonetically because she just couldn't wait. She said, I knew you since I was a baby. And then half of the page from that point on goes, I love you so much, so much, so much, so much, so much. I was so stricken. I knew that what she needed me to do was jump up and down. And I did do some of that. But I burst out in tears. And I got down on my knees and looked, she's a tiny little thing, and looked in her face and said, Abigail, I know it is hard to understand why Miss Beth is crying right now over your present, but I am so happy. I said, how could I be so blessed that you would love me? Why in the world would you have decided to love this middle-aged woman that you might never have even noticed? He can set the lonely in families. She will never, I mean, this wasn't pearls before swine. Nobody has given me a stuffed animal in years, but I got me one. I got me one, built with her own two hands. The love of family, the love of family. When I looked at the little sheet that they fill out, the birth certificate, they have a birth certificate for the bear. It gives the date of birth. It tells all about who you're giving it to. And I looked at the name, and the name is Grace. Yes. Just Grace. Just Grace. I want to end you with this one. Number 7 is this. Christ can bring honor back to the family. Christ can bring honor back to the family. We began with this point weeks ago. Any family can have calamity, but every single family, be it the family of God, a family of origin, your present family unit, every family can have their honor back in Christ because that's what He came to do. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 1. I'm going to have to explain why to Abigail that this many women also cried over her wonderful gift. Thank you, Father. Thank you. You know, as you're turning there, I want to say something to you, and it's just now pressing on my heart, so I'm going to believe that God had this moment planned. We so often think they just know I love them. They know I love them. I knew she loved me because, you know, she hangs out with me so much. But when she wrote it, I love you so much, so much, so much, so much, so much. It just about slayed my heart. Tell them. I know that you think they know it. They know it. Tell them. I tell them every day. Tell them again today. Tell them again today. Get them right in the eye and say, I love you so stinking much. I love you so much. I love you so much. For some of you, it's been a long, long time since you've heard those words. You can hear it today. I love you so, so much. Jesus says, I love you so, so, so. Maybe He would even say, stinking much.
To obtain information on Beth's teaching materials and for her speaking schedule, visit us online at lifetoday.org.
Beth, I think you're right. He probably would. He really does speak our language. Very, very touching story. And you know, Beth, as you're talking about the power of God to restore, you know, Betty and I are really, really praying for God to restore the foundation that our nation is built on. And that's one reason, Betty, I'm encouraging people to read Indivisible and pray about all the areas of concern. I know you've heard me say this before, but it really is important you understand it. Focused prayer is like focusing the power of a river into a turbine. It produces enough energy to light up a city. That's what focused prayer does. And we want to focus our attention rightly. That's what Beth helps us do when she teaches. Right now, we are reaching out to put God's arms of love around children that are in desperate need, headed for a lifetime in prison, in sexual bondage, captured by the sex traffic industry, multi-billion-dollar industry. Horrible. We can rescue these precious children. We can get women that have been trapped, many of them from the time they were a child, and get them into a new way of life, all because of love. I want you to watch this, because together we can change everything for a precious child and for a woman that's been trapped.
You know, the old lady, they feed the small girl for the homesick with the foreigner. They pay money a lot for the, they need for the steel virgin.
Human traffickers target innocent children who then become enslaved in a multi-billion dollar a year industry called the sex slave trade.
So imagine this, one girl taken from her family, whether she's kidnapped or tricked, if she is sexually abused over and over again, maybe 8 to 10 customers that she may have to service in one day.
We're fighting for children that can't fight for themselves, children that would be otherwise used in the sex trade or be bought and sold like animals for monetary gain. It's not right.
It's kids just like these that right now they're begging, but they are also bait for predators. If we don't get them off the street, they will be the next trafficked victims.
And when these children become enslaved and don't comply, horrible things are done to them by the human traffickers.
When I was a child, I seen a lot of things front of my eyes.
They are cages somewhere like that. They are keeping a child as an animal. Just tied the hand, both hand like that, and that customer will be have a sex with that child.
It is tragic what's happening to children, innocent children, and it's not right. Our hearts are burdened by all the children that are crying out for help today, this moment, that need intervention, that need help, that are waiting for someone to hear their cries. And we can only do it with your help.
That little precious child you saw there at the end, that's a target. Anywhere the sex traffickers see a little child that looks helpless or vulnerable, they take them. They will go to the impoverished family members and tell them that they want to give that child a better place. They'll take young girls and say, we're going to get them in a school where they can learn a trade and bring money back to the family, and then they never see them again. Love will set them free. We're going to build a life center with the help of our viewers. And Betty, you know, you and I have been all over the world to see needs, and we got a big care in our heart. And Betty and I share freely, but we're limited in what we can share, no matter how much we care, unless those of you who care join us in sharing life and help and love. Here's what we're asking you to do. The missionary workers who are in the field all over the world, we're in Thailand, we're in Cambodia, we're all over India. We're right there in Mumbai, where a lot of children are taken who are left by the railroad track and taken into sex trafficking. We're working where the need is. The missionaries tell us that it takes $128 to rescue a child. Now, let me tell you how important this is to some of our viewers. Some of them have said, we will match your gift, which means if you could give a $128 gift, it'll be matched. So you've just rescued two. We want to build a life center in Nepal. We built a beautiful life center in Thailand. We built some more modest centers in Cambodia and other places. We're going to build a beautiful place in Nepal where these children are so poor and they're taken into captivity and then used as sex slaves in India. Would you help us build the Life Center? We're asking for people to make a $1,000 gift or more. It'll be doubled. $128 will rescue a child. But at any level you can come in, what a difference it's going to make. We're putting girls to work who have been in the trade and trapped. And they're making beautiful necklaces, and we will gladly send you one of the necklaces if you'll help rescue one of these girls or these children. Sending the book Indivisible to all of you who will make whatever gift God puts on your heart. And this is going to focus your prayers, and we're going to see how we can turn our nation back to God and restore our foundation so we can be blessed to bless others. Would you dial the number there on the screen? Would you take your bank card and use it like a check? That's how you should use them. If you want to go online, lifetoday.org, you can make your gift online. But I'm asking you to make the very largest gift you can. We have some gifts for you, the lion and the lamb bronze, for those of you who will help us build the Life Center. Whatever you can do, you make the gift God puts on your heart. If you write a check, make it to Life, but call us and tell us you're putting it in the mail. Thank you so much for doing it.
Human trafficking. It's impossible to believe, but at this very moment, innocent children, many very young, are being sold and forced into sexual slavery and exploited in every way imaginable. And someone must save them. With your help today, we can reach, rescue, and restore their hope for a better future. And we can also build the New Hope Life Center in Nepal, which will be a safe house for children for years to come. And now, a miracle opportunity of a $384,000 matching gift. With a cost of $128 to rescue a child, that means your gift of $128 will be matched to help rescue two children, and $64 will be matched to help rescue one more child. With your gift, please request Indivisible by James Robison and Jay Richards, a soul-stirring read for every Christian who desires to restore America to the values that formed our strong foundation, built on faith, family, and freedom. With your gift of $128, which today will help rescue two children, you will receive a unique and beautiful necklace, handcrafted by women who were survivors of human trafficking and slavery. Finally, please prayerfully consider a gift of $1,000, which will be matched to $2,000 for the New Hope Life Center. And you may request the beautiful bronze sculpture, The Lion and the Lamb. Please call, write, or make your gift online today.
You know, we really do thank you for your help. I think it's so wonderful that these girls have made these necklaces, and we want to send you one to say thank you. Help us rescue as many as you can, and know that your gift is going to be matched. We're sending Indivisible, restoring faith, family, and freedom before it's too late. It isn't too late. Everything sacred is being trampled on. One reason, salt loses its effect, it's trampled under the feet of men. Let's not lose our effect. I will gladly send you the book to say thank you for any gift you make to help us change the lives of those precious women and little children. Thank you for watching Life Today. Tell your friends about Wednesdays with Beth. Thank all of you for being here.
Tomorrow, Glenn Beck and David Barden defend the truth.
We have to have faith, hold on to each other, and do exactly what he tells us to do.
Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.